I was 21 years old, and I was in the process for a job with the Arvada Police Department. Some of you know this story, but I'm going to tell it to you from a different angle this morning. The application process is not your typical application process. It's not like when you go to apply for a normal job, you fill out an application, you turn it in, you wait for a phone call, you get the phone call, you talk to somebody, and you either get the job or you don't. This was much, much different than that. Started off with a whole ton of paperwork. I'm talking a lot of in-depth, very detailed online paperwork, which culminated in an initial group test. Now, a group test is where they bring in a bunch of different candidates and you sit in a room and you take a test. You don't know what's going to be on the test. Sometimes it's testing your speed with which you answer a question. Sometimes they'll give you a bunch of colors and you have to quickly name the color as fast as you possibly can on a bubble sheet. And somehow they score this and determine whether they want you or not. So you did this initial group test. And then after that, you waited. And you waited. And you waited. Until you get a call. And the call said this: hey, we want you to come in for what's called an oral board test. An oral board test was basically where you came in and you sat at a table and there was a panel of police officers and sergeants and sometimes upper level law enforcement, and you sit at the table and they ask you all kinds of very difficult, very questions where there's really not even a right or wrong answer necessarily. Questions such as, would you ever give your own family member a ticket if you pulled them over? Well, what happens if you pulled over your mom and she was driving drunk? What would you do? Then they'd go into questions like, let's say that you responded to a call of domestic disturbance and you showed up and it was the chief of police. Are you going to arrest the chief of police? Questions like this. Questions where you can't really answer them. It's hard to answer them. You get done with the interview and then you go home and you wait. And you wait. And you wait. Until you get another call. And this time, the call said this: hey, we need you to come back in. We need you to do an interview one-on-one with somebody before we start your background check process. So I went in, sat down, answered a bunch of the same questions I'd already asked. And then I went home and then I waited. And I waited until another call that said, hey, we need you to go in for a psychological test. I went in for the psychological test to see if I was crazy. And then I had to wait and wait and wait. This process went on for months and months and months, and it was agonizing. I was 21 years old. I was just getting in with college, and I'm trying to figure out what is my future going to be, and I was agonizing during these periods of waiting. It was so incredibly, incredibly difficult. It wasn't really a game, but now that I look back on it, the game that I would play with myself was I would see how long I could possibly go waiting until I just had to break down and I had to call the recruiter and say, hey, where am I at? So, because I didn't want to be a total pest, but I would see how long I could wait. And then when I got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore, where psychologically I was just done and I was just so like weak, I finally broke down and I made the call. If any of you have ever waited for something for a long time, you know how agonizing waiting can be. You know how agonizing it is to wait for something or to know something's coming or to be expecting something, and then you have to wait. It can be super, super agonizing. I know that some people are better at waiting than other people. I'm not the greatest at waiting. I'm getting better as I get a little bit older, but waiting in general, I'm just not really good at it. I want things done now. I want them done well with excellence right now. I want things to come my way right now. I'm just not the best person when it comes to waiting. Maybe some of you are like me. Maybe some of you are great at being patient. Blessings to you. My question is this: have you ever, maybe you've never had this experience, but maybe you have you ever had a moment or a period in time when you've been waiting for something for so long, you've been waiting and you've been waiting so long that you actually forgot that you were waiting for something? Have you ever waited so long and you were agonizing for it, and then pretty soon you waited so long you just forgot that you're even expecting something? I think that's happened to me before in my life. Maybe for you, you've been waiting to make a particular team of some kind. And you've been waiting and you've been waiting and you just forgot that you were even desiring to be on that team anymore. Maybe you've been waiting for something in your life to change, and you've been wanting it to change so badly, and you've been waiting so long, you've actually forgotten that you've even been waiting for it. Maybe some of you have been just waiting for life to get better. You're just waiting for some kind of breakthrough to happen and so that life will be better, and you've been waiting so long that you've forgotten you've even been waiting for it. If that's you, and if you've ever been there, you share your company with the Jews of the New Testament, with the Jews that we read about starting in the book of Matthew. Because the Jews in the New Testament had been waiting for hundreds of years for this person called the Messiah, this person they called the Savior, to come onto the scene. But they'd waited an incredibly long amount of time, to the point where many of them had forgotten that they were even waiting for this person. In the Old Testament, there's a number of prophetic books. And those prophetic books, books like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, all of these books, you've heard of them before. The purpose of these books was twofold. First off, these books were written to specific Jews at specific times in history. And many of those books are speaking to Jews who had been taken from their homeland because of disobedience. And God was using these prophets to speak to them, to tell these Jews, repent of your sin and turn to God. Repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God. And if you do, then God's going to bless you again. God's going to provide blessing for you. So that's the purpose of those prophecies. That's the purpose of those books. But they also served a second purpose, and that was they were prophetic. And what that means is this, is that they foretold of something that was going to be coming. They foretold there's something coming. Hey, I know that you're dispersed now. I know that things aren't great, but there's a Savior coming. There's something coming in the future. So the Israelites, the Jews knew, because of these prophetic books, they knew something was coming for them. Some kind of Savior was coming, but they just didn't know what it was going to look like exactly. They didn't know how it was going to happen. Some of the prophecies, I'll just read a couple of them to you. In Isaiah, the prophet writes this. He says, "Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city." This, when he's talking, when he's saying awake, awake, he's saying anticipate, get ready. There's something coming for you. In Isaiah 52:10, it says this, "The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see your salvation, the salvation of our God." So even thousands of years before Jesus came, the prophets were writing and saying, there's something coming, there's salvation coming, awake, get ready, get excited. Isaiah 53, he says this, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Now, when we read that, who do we think of? Who do we think of? We think of Jesus, okay? But think about them. They're reading this. They have no clue what this is talking about. All they know is that there's somebody coming who's going to bear the sins of many, who's going to make intercession. There's something coming. Something is coming for us. Now, the Jews, like I said, they were dispersed during the time of these Old Testament letters. They were dispersed. So what that means is this. They weren't in the land that God had promised them to be in. God had put them in that land, they had disobeyed, and so as a result, they were dispersed among many nations. And so they found themselves in all different kinds of countries, all throughout the known world at that time. But the people were waiting. They were waiting. And it had been, when we get to the New Testament, it was 400 years since the last prophecy was given telling of something coming. So when we hit the book of Matthew, the people that we read about, it had been 400 years since they'd heard any kind of prophecy about what was coming. It was 400 years of silence. 400 years of not hearing anything. 400 years of waiting. Let me tell you this, ladies. If you are holding out for a guy to like you, and it has been 400 years, you should just move on. Okay? Guys, if you're waiting for a girl to give you like a wink or a glance, and it's been 400 years, move on. Okay? Move on. If you're at a job and you're waiting for things to get better and it's been 400 years, find another job at that point, because I don't know if things are going to change really quickly. This is where the Jews found themselves. 400 years of waiting for this Savior to come, this Messiah person, this thing that was prophesied about 400 years. By this point, as you can imagine, many of them had forgotten it was even going to happen. Many of them had lost hope. It's 400 years. We're in a series as a church. They're doing it, we're doing it all collectively, called Advent. That's what you saw the intro video about. Advent simply is this. Advent is a time before Christmas where we anticipate and we wait for the birth of Jesus. Now, when I was growing up, we did an Advent calendar at my house. And that basically consisted of a thing that stood on the refrigerator that had candy in it. And every day we'd go and open the little door and you'd salivate over what kind of candy you got. Ooh, yummy. You take the candy and you eat it, and that was Advent. Anybody else do that? Anybody else doing that, even currently? Okay. We haven't quite done that yet with our boys, but I'm sure that we will. But it was fun. Like, I liked Advent. It was exciting. I'd wake up every day. Okay, it's the 17th, so that means that there's eight more days till Christmas, and let's open number 17. Ooh, it's a Tootsie Roll. Ooh, ooh. Eat my Tootsie Roll. Yummy. Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. Oh, day end so I can go to bed. And like, I got really excited. I would love it. But Advent is more than expecting candy every morning, okay? Advent, the idea of Advent, it's this time where we position ourselves to be in expectation of Jesus coming. And not only that, it's a time for us, during Advent, it's a time for us to think about the idea and the concept of waiting and expecting something. And even like being more practical, just like looking at our personal lives and looking and seeing, where are there areas in my life where I need to wait on God? What are areas in my life that maybe haven't happened yet that I've been holding out for that I need to just re-up my expectation about? How many of you would agree with me that it's difficult to wait? Waiting can be very difficult. Anybody like me who doesn't like to wait? Can I get some response from you guys over here? How many of you do not like to wait? Okay, in general. Okay, it's hard to wait for Star Wars. I had a hard time waiting for the last Hunger Games to come out because I wanted it to end so I could move on with my life. And I saw it, and now I can move on with my life. I'm a better person because I saw the Hunger Games. That was a long wait. The worst wait, though, was when I waited for the last one, and then they cut it off. And they said there's going to be a like two-part ending. That was like a punch to the nose. I didn't appreciate that very much. Life is full of waiting. When you're in middle school, you cannot wait to get to high school. I can't tell you how many middle schoolers I have to push out of here and say, go back to middle school, because they just can't wait to get in here. And then when you're here, seniors, juniors, you can't wait to leave us. And I've got to pull you back and say, please stay with me another month. Please, please don't check out. Please be here. You can't wait to move on to college and be done with all this. You get to college, you can't wait to be in your career. You can't wait to get married. You can't wait to have kids. Life is waiting. And then when you have the ability to have kids, you have to wait 9 months for the silly little thing to be created and then come out. Okay? It's a long waiting period. I know. I'm experiencing it for the third time. Okay? It's a long time to wait. Ariel, it's a long time to wait, is it not? Especially when you're in pain and throwing up. Oh, don't feel bad. She'll be fine. No, just kidding. There was one man in the New Testament. There was one man that I want to focus in on today for the rest of my time, and it's not going to be very long. It's a guy named Simeon. Because Simeon, we only hear about him one time in the Bible, in Luke. Simeon was a man. While everybody else may have forgotten that they were waiting for the Messiah, while everybody else may have forgotten and said, hey, it's never going to happen, Simeon was a man who held out hope. We read about him in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures for you. So if you have your Bible or your phone, you can go there. We're in Luke 2, starting in verse 25. And it says this: "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Another translation says it this way, the New Living Translation says this: "At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel." Now, I want to give you just a quick lesson when it comes to reading your Bible. I'll make it quick, I promise. I could go on for a while about this, but this: when a writer writes something in the Bible, the writer writes it for a very specific reason. So as you're reading your Bible, when the writer says something, and whenever he says anything about detail, any kind of detail, you've got to focus in on that and think about, why is that detail in there? There's usually a reason for it, even if on the surface you can't see why. I want to draw your attention to this. It says this: Simeon was a righteous and devout man, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, or another way to say that is he was waiting for the Messiah to come. Now here's why I think that was written. Luke wrote that to show that that's what this man was known for. Luke wouldn't have known that except for the fact that that was this man's reputation. People knew this guy Simeon as a guy who was righteous and as the maybe the one guy who was still holding out hope and was still waiting for this thing called the Messiah. I can imagine that it's been 400 years. People probably think this guy is a total loony guy. He's an old man, he's in the temple, and he's sitting there, and I'll bet I could hear him just saying, "Messiah's gonna come. Messiah's gonna come." People walk by, "Man, that old man is crazy. The Messiah guy? Yeah, he's a nutcase. He's still waiting for the Messiah. It's been 400 years. And yet he still holds out, Messiah's coming. Messiah's coming." People walk around, they're talking about struggles they're having in their life, and that, you know, he might hear somebody talking about an issue that they're going through, and he'd look at him and say, "Messiah's coming. Messiah's coming." That's what this guy was known for. He was the one man who held out hope against all odds that something, that what was going to happen was going to happen. Here's the big idea about Simeon. In his waiting, he had not lost hope. In his waiting, he had not lost hope. I want to pause here because when it comes to waiting, I think many times we lose hope. We lose our hope when we've been waiting for something and it doesn't happen and it doesn't come, and we start to become hopeless. And we lose our hope and we think it's never going to happen. Nothing's going to go right for me. This situation, God's not going to come through. And we begin to lose our hope. When that happens, we've got to remember, Simeon would say, "Don't lose hope. Though it's been a long time, though you don't see the end result, though you don't see the ending of the plan that God has, even if you think it's hopeless, hold out hope. Don't lose your hope in waiting." I was thinking this week, we've had a lot in the past few months when it comes to just tragedies across our nation and just across our world. You know, it started in Paris with the shootings and the bombings and that kind of a thing. And then we've had numbers of shootings here in the United States, to the point where it's almost second guess going out in public to large places because you think, yikes, when's it going to happen to me? When's it going to happen here? And sometimes I think, God, when are you going to do something about that? God, when are you going to bring justice to all this stuff? When are you going to come down? And when are you going to, like, when you see those people like planning all this stuff, when are you going to foil their plans? When are you going to put a stop to all that stuff? And sometimes you can get discouraged and think, God's not paying attention. God doesn't care. There was actually, if you saw it on Instagram or Facebook, there was a newspaper that came out with a printed, I think it was a front page, and it said, it had some quotes from some presidential candidates about all the tragedies that have been going on. And the candidates were saying things like, "I'm praying for the situation," or, you know, "God be with us." And the title said this: God has forgotten. Something like that. Sometimes we feel like, God, what? You're not seeing this. You're not coming to our aid. But I think Simeon would tell us this, that when we wait, we can't lose hope. Because at the right time, at the right moment, God is going to come through. Not in our time, but he will come through. Luke 2:27, it says this. Jesus had come into the temple. Jesus was being brought by his parents to get dedicated. And it says this in verse 27. And he came in the spirit to the temple, talking about Simeon. And when the parents of Jesus brought him in to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel. Simeon had, in waiting, he had not lost his hope. And it was not at his time. It was at the perfect time for God when God came through. You guys probably have heard this before, but you just need to be reminded that our time is not God's time. It's almost never God's time. God's time is either way, way, way earlier than we expect, or it's way, way later than we expect. I find in my life, rarely does God do something the moment that I really want something to happen. But I've also come to know this, is that God's time is always the best time. It's always the perfect time. No matter how much I think I know, his time is always the perfect time. And this was the big idea, and this is the big idea when it comes to Advent. This is the big idea when it comes to Advent, because you see, in our waiting time, when we're waiting for something, that period in time that we're waiting, and we think God's forgotten, we think that he's checked out, that nothing's happening, in our waiting, God is working. In our waiting, God is working. He's working behind the scenes. He's working things out for our good. You know, I'm not that old, but there's been times in my life when I've really had to wait, and I've had to agonize through periods of waiting. There was this one time in my life where I was in a job that I did not feel was where God wanted me. I didn't feel like I was in a place God wanted me to be, but I didn't know what God had for me next. I couldn't see anything on the horizon. And all I knew to do was wait. And so waiting looked like me basically staying in this job that I was in and not making any moves, not trying to go to another job or anything like that. It entailed me just working day after day in a place and in a job that I didn't feel was where I was supposed to be. It was agonizing. It was painful. Waiting is painful. But what I learned was this, is that even in that time of waiting where I thought God had forgotten about me, God was doing some things behind the scenes. He was working things out in me personally. He was working things out, and at the right time, God moved me out, and God put me into the place where he wanted me. And then when I look back, I could see, wow, God, wow, how did you do that? Magnificent, fantastic. Guys, he did that for me. He's doing that for you all the time. All the time, you guys. He's doing that for you. I want to take a minute, and we're going to, I want to listen to a song. We don't do this a whole ton, but I just felt like this song was good for what we're doing today. And so you're not going to sing along with it. I just want you to listen. It's about 4 minutes, okay? Lyrics will be on the screen over here. It came out a number of years ago. It's a song called While I'm Waiting. And I listened, when I was in this season of you know, wondering, God, I feel like I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I would listen to this song and it would give me some hope. It would give me some hope in the waiting to remind me that even in waiting, God is working and that God is working things out for my good. He's not putting me in this situation to keep me down. He's actually using it for my good. So this song is called While I'm Waiting. It's by John Waller. We're going to listen to it. I'm going to come back up and give a couple closing thoughts and then we'll wrap up for today. All right? Do me a favor, you guys, as this is going on. I know that we don't sit and listen to music video or to lyric videos very often. Just be mindful of those around you, okay? Be mindful to not be distracting. If you need to just sit and close your eyes, that'd be a good thing. Let's just listen to this together, and then I'll be right back.
Waiting on you, Lord, and I am hopeful. but patiently I will wait. I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience while I'm waiting.
In his book that we're going through as a church, while it's Waiting Here for You, Louis Giglio, he writes this. He says, God works while we wait. Even when you can't see what he's doing, God is always orchestrating the events of heaven and earth to accomplish his purposes in your life. Trust in his unfailing love, love that moved him to send a savior from heaven to restore and rescue you. God's plans for your life will never be thwarted. Wait patiently, knowing that waiting is never wasted when you're waiting on God. And when the time is right, God will come through, and he will make a way where there seems like there might not be a way. I want to end today, and I just want to say this, that I think with a message like this, I think that there's a lot of students, there's a number of you who are discouraged maybe because you've been waiting and waiting, and maybe you feel like God's forgotten about you. And so I want to remind you through the talk today that he's not forgotten about you. and that even while you wait, God is working. And some of you are here and you might be waiting and it feels like God's not really doing anything. You can't see where God's working, where he's moving in your life. You just can't see it. And I want you to be reminded again that in your waiting, God is working. And if you put your faith and your trust in that, you're going to be able to get through. And then when the moment's right, God's going to provide the answer. He's going to show you what's next for you.